rain kind of hampered, maybe, but maybe not. You know, the rain keeps some folks from coming to the house of God, but it keeps some folks in the house of God after they get here. Hallelujah. And it's, we knew it was going to rain. Skies were getting cloudy and dark and getting black. It shouldn't have confused us when it happened. And the louder the rain got, the more Brother Paul just kept pushing the button on his PA system. And the louder we got, and I got a message. And not for tonight, but I got me a message while he was cranking up that thing, competing with the rain. I mean, we was cranking it up. It got louder and we got louder. But there's one thing that you can't compete with the rain. It gets you wet. It just saturates you. And that's something that loud can't do. And well, one of these days you'll hear it. I'm not going to be unmindful tonight that this is Saturday night and that Sunday morning rolls around, and Sunday's the hardest day, seemed like, in the world for some folks to get awake. I mean, at 5 o'clock they can come awake on Monday morning, but they can sleep in till 8 on Sunday and just still can't hardly navigate. So I'm going to be mindful of that. And besides that, I got to go try and tear Brother Edenfield's church up in the morning, and I need plenty of rest. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13. Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge. And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 14. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Something I want you to agree or disagree. This is your input into the service. You can agree or disagree. Not only does the spirit of worship lack in a lot of our services, the spirit of conviction does also. Not only is it hard to get people to say hallelujah and praise the Lord and glory be to God, but it's hard to get people to pay attention long enough in one service to even let God talk to their hearts. We're in such of an entertainment mode society, and we are so programmed to 30-minute intervals of entertainment and then a commercial that you can't hardly keep people's attention more than 30 or 40 minutes in the service before minds are wandering, young folks are talking, babies are being passed around, fingernails are being clipped, grocery orders are being made, pictures are being handed out to keep the children in line, songbooks are being marked in. You just can't hardly keep people's attention anymore long enough for them to hear from God. Really and truthfully, it's a known fact, and if you don't know it, I'm going to let you in on a secret. If you don't live right, you're not going to the same heaven that Brother Jim Powers is going to. If you don't apply your heart and life to God and live a holy, sanctified, separated, dedicated life in God, you have no mansion over the hilltop in that bright land where you'll never grow old. You can stand and shed tears and be thrilled and have your heart emotionally touched as we talk about growing old or growing young or walking in a land where the Lamb is the light. But if your heart is not right with God, you are going to die lost and you are going to go to hell. You're not going to have a halfway point. There is no such thing as purgatory. Mary cannot pray you into heaven. St. Peter cannot pray you into heaven. St. Jude cannot heal you into heaven. You have got to have your sins forgiven. You have got to live a dedicated life, or you are not going to go to heaven. You can change churches as much as you change billfolds. You can change churches as many times as you men change your socks. You can change pastors. You can change Bibles. You can change commentaries. You can change husbands. You can change wives. You can change communities. You can change homes. You can change Sunday school classes. You can change until your middle name is changed. But if your heart is not holy, if your life is not righteous, if your sins are not forgiven, you will die lost and you will go to hell. Despair, depressing, rebellion, rejecting, that's the middle word of our society. You feel that spirit creeping into our services. I'm not going to have a man tell me how to dress. I'm not going to have a man tell me how to look. I'm not going to have a man tell me how to act. I'm not going to have a man tell me how to pray. I'm not going to have a man tell me how to worship. That's why you don't do what Paul says. And that's why you don't do what Peter says. And that's why you don't do what Timothy says. And that's why you don't do what Matthew says. And that's why you don't do what Mark says. You thought you was rejecting Lindsay Savage? You thought you was saying no to Gary Edenfield? You thought you was shaking your head to Joey Hyde? Come off of it. You are saying no to Genesis. You are saying no to Revelation. You are saying no to the very God who through Holy Ghost inspiration gave you this roadmap that you are to follow. Did you know that there is a roaring lion roaming about at this very moment seeking whom he may devour? While some of you with a smirkish grin, not a sign of a tear in your eye anywhere, because as far as you are concerned, there is no land that is fairer than day. By faith you shall not see it afar. You have no father waiting over the way to prepare you a dwelling place there. And while in this very service, while there was the potential for heaven to come down and kiss your darkened soul, while there was the potential for God to come down and kiss your backslidden heart, you stood and allowed the devourer to encircle you and encamp around about you until you could think of something else to do than hear God's conviction and hear God's call to your very heart and to your very life. Everybody in this building loves Brother Jim Powers, but you would be a fool in human flesh not to want to go to the same heaven that he's going to. Everybody appreciates everything that he done, but you would be a fool in the flesh not to want to go to the same heaven that he is working for. You may not be able to get along with your brother. You may not be able to get along with your neighbor. You may have a drastic hate for your mother-in-law, but you will be a fool in the flesh if you'd rather die lost and go to hell with them than to get your heart right with God and inherit a land where the Lamb is the light. The devil is chasing teenagers to hell at a breakneck rate of speed. I want you to picture a man that's this bitter. A man that could jump up and say, I'll follow you. I'll run you all the way to the grave. I'll not let up on you until I see you rot in the devil's dry places. You would say that was a bitter man. You would say that was a determined man. 2 weeks ago, last Friday, three teenage boys stood in a municipal court in West Memphis, Arkansas. Three teenage boys, satanically involved, captured three young little men, mutilated their bodies in the woods, taking body parts used for sadistic worship, and there they kill those three little children. In the courtroom that day with deputies on alert, lawyers standing to attention, and the accused standing with their head bowed before the judge, there was a rush from the back of that courtroom. There was a break as somebody started coming over the back of them chairs. Deputies quickly ran to the aisle. Lawyers quickly dropped to their feet, dropped down beneath the seat. The accused quickly ran to the side of that courtroom, and the judge didn't even reach for his gavel. One of them little boys' daddy was a-coming down that aisle. He had fire in his eyes. He had hate in his heart. It took every bailiff that they could muster from the room and the hallway to subdue that man. And the entire courtroom went a-hush as that daddy screamed as they drug him out the door. I will chase every one of you to hell. I will chase every one of you to hell. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm glad I'm not one of them three boys, because I felt that jump off the page of that newspaper and settle inside my heart. That daddy meant he's going to get them boys for what they did to them little children. And yet here we sit in this tabernacle tonight with a more dastardly pursuer, with somebody that hates you with a greater hate than that daddy hates them boys. There is a devil. There is a wicked one. He hates you girls because your hair is long. He hates you boys because your hair is short. He hates you because you have no TV. He hates you because you don't run around and commit adultery and fornication. And what he says is, I will chase you all the way to hell. And on these service nights that we sit and wonder why the spirit is tight, it's because you are being chased by a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I love the deeper studies of the Word of God. If you could get some folks to read it, you'd be doing great. If you could get some preachers to study it, you'd be having revival. I love the deeper studies of the Word of God. Literally, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may run into exhaustion. They're readily able to pounce upon the prey and devour them right there on the spot. I'm telling you, he is running our church world ragged until we're too tired to pray. We're too tired to live holy. We're too tired to go to camp meeting. We're too tired to back a preacher. We're too tired to get in a choir. We're too tired to study a Sunday school lesson. And the entire time that you are finding yourself growing weary, the adversary of your soul is drawing closer and closer and closer. Now, I'm not going to stand up here all night. Brother Jim Powers and Brother Edenfield painted you the one side of the picture. I felt impressed to stand up here and paint you the other side of the picture. The devil is running humanity straight to hell. He's trying to get you to sin more and more and more and more and more and more and more. Greater opportunities. Opportunities like he presented to the prodigal. Opportunities like he presented to Eve. And the more he can contrive different things that can lead us into sin and get us to slowly find ourselves losing ground with God, the closer he gets to your church, the closer he gets to your home, and the closer he gets to your soul. He not only wants to entice us to commit sin, but after we have sinned, he wants us to try to cover it up. In this very service in here tonight, there are fornications and adulteries of the mind that if some of you wives knew what went on in the thinking capacities of your husband, you would file for divorce. And yet the devil wants us to hide these pleasures of the flesh and act like anger's not a problem. Act like temper's not a problem. Act like you've got a right to choose somebody out and never ask forgiveness. But I got news for you. He's chasing you to hell. He not only wants you to commit sin, he not only wants you to cover sin, but he wants you to die in your sins, because the devil is going to hell. The devil is heading for a binding, blinding eternity because of the devil that he really is. And he is in no wise your buddy. He is in no wise your friend. He is in no wise your bosom companion. He is your adversary as he hands you the can of beer. He's the adversary as he offers you another Marlboro. He is the adversary, girls, when that boy gives you a line that you just can't refuse. He is an adversary, boys, when that girl bats them tarantula fangish eyes at you and you find yourself turning from the house of God and going a-whoring after the things that this world has to offer. The devil is not your friend. You can stand down there at the bottom of the hill, take your shirt sleeves, boys, and roll them all the way to your armpits, and the devil still ain't your buddy. You can get down and talk about things and remark about suggestive things until you're the head among the crowd, but the devil is still not your buddy. You girls can get around and talk about how good the boys look in their tight-fitting clothes, but the devil is still not your buddy. The end result is for you to go to hell just like he is a-fixing to go to hell, and I take that folks to wake up and see that. Now you listen to me. You listen to me. If you think that Elvis is in heaven, that's entirely up to you. Congratulations. I appreciate your openness. Everybody knows that we're not supposed to judge. Anyway, if old Mr. Tight-Fitting Jeans that died a few days back over in Missouri is singing with the angels right now, congratulations. Glory be to God. You have something to look forward to. But if there is a road of unrighteousness, and if unrighteousness is punished by going to hell, you are not going to be an exception to the rule. Well, Brother Hyde, I know Elvis didn't make it because his heart right wasn't right with God, and yours ain't either. But it's always somebody else that goes to hell. Well, now I know that Madonna girl that runs around half naked, I know that she ain't going to make it. And yet inside your heart, you look for avenues to be seductive. You look for avenues to be lustful and lewd. You look for avenues to be attractive to the opposite sex instead of being the light of the world. You have ceased from shouting and you have gone to pouting. But listen to me. I don't care if you're a preacher's boy or a preacher's girl or a deacon's kid or been raised in church all your life. You are not an exception. If you have sinned, you will go to hell. He's chasing a foolish but wise generation. Explain that. Change in the glory of God. All of a sudden, God's not our national hero anymore. We got our bedroom walls wallpapered with filth, ungodliness, music that has to be labeled with a suggestive adult material on there. And parents that are so narrow-minded that they would never listen to it, but will allow their children to do it in the privacy of their own bedroom. Don't everybody sit there and look at me like that. I'm telling you, we are changing the glory of God, and we are changing the truth of God. We're taking marriage laws, and we're dragging them through the gutter. We're making adultery okay. We're making fornication the thing that preachers do all the time. We're trying to take nature itself. Our men are trying to look like women. Women are trying to look like men. We have taken Corinthians out of the Bible. We forgot that Deuteronomy says that there is to be an outward physical difference in the way that we dress, in the way that we walk, and in the way that we talk. And what you don't understand is, all the time that you're looking for a shortcut, the devil's chasing you to hell. I don't want to hold you now. I'm really trying to obey my feelings. But you are foolish to think that the devil is not behind fashion. You are foolish to think that the devil is not behind abortion and homosexuality. I mean, you can't give the president all the credit for this because he ain't that smart. No, No, you've got to give the devil some credit. He was just looking for a dupe. He was just looking for somebody that he could put in his hand and dress and cross-dress and fix and refix until he had a control and his spirit could encircle the White House and be over the powers that be. That's the devil's dastardly plan. And that teenager that sits in your youth group while all the rest of the girls live holy and righteous, that one girl that always says, but what's wrong with it if we do it? You watch her spirit and you watch her attitude. There's something in her heart that's looking for a backdoor escape. She's not looking for an elevator to heaven. She's trying to find a stair that will take her to hell. While we sit around and twiddle our thumbs and try to figure out what's wrong with mixed bathing, the saints of God ought to be trying to find out what's right with it. While young folks sit around and wonder what's wrong with contemporary music, they ought to be sitting around wondering what's right with it. While you sit back and wonder what's wrong with ladies cutting their hair, what's wrong with ladies wearing breeches and painting up like a harlot, ladies ought to be searching the Word of God and try to find out how come they want to do that in the first place. And if they find out that they are trying to be like the world, I got a Bible verse for you. You are to come out from among them and be a shepherd, saith the Lord. You're picking on the women. I ain't done it. I ain't done it. I don't like the new trend in some of the guys' haircuts. I don't like the new trend in some of the guys' tight, revealing clothing. Hallelujah. I think jogging suits is a curse. Shout now. I think sweatsuits are... You listen to what I'm trying to tell you. We're looking for escapes. We're looking for some kind of reason that we can get close to the line and yet not step over the edge. But while you're worried about getting close to the line, there is a lion that's getting close to you. He's climbing up behind you and he's going to send you to hell. To hell. Hallelujah. Dresses wore to the house of God. Barely modest enough to come through the door with, let alone be shouted in. Attitudes of the pulpiteers, so stiff and so staunch that an outbreak of the Holy Ghost, the last place it would move in some churches, is the platform and the sacred desk. Paycheck at the end of the week, fill my pulpit 2 or 3 times, and if I'm lucky, get somebody else to preach for me, because the burden has been gone for years and years and years. And it's when you get in that state, it's when you preach for profit, it's when you are only a spokesman with a mouth and not a spokesman for the heart of God, that the devil is creeping up on your parsonage. The devil is creeping up. Man, you are looking at me now. Help me not to get out of line. He's chasing a generation that is as religious as I've ever preached to and as lost as a goose. Can walk into the house of God with your spouse. You have fought all day long. The children have hid in the back bedroom because they can't stand the contention in the home. And yet your face is smiling. Preach it, Brother Hyatt. We love that kind of preaching. You are going to die lost if you're not careful. We know too much about long sleeves. We know too much about long hair. We know too much about long dresses. And we know too much about Hollywood. We know too much about Nashville. We know too much about the music industry. We know too much about you. You want me to continue to name it? We've got too many irons and too many fires. And deep down inside of our heart's not right with God. I repeat it because I feel it moving on me right now. There's some of you that wouldn't even go to church in the morning if you thought you could still act saved and get away from it. There is some, my wife made this statement 2 years ago on the way to Bristol, Oklahoma. I wonder how many preachers would swap their wives off and get them new ones if it was legal. Don't sit there and look at me like that. I want to go out and turn your car on. I want to flip the radio on and see where the station is. I want to see what kind of tape you've got in your player right now. I want to see what kind of tape is running through your mind right now. Well, I'll have you know that I've been a Sunday school teacher, and I'll have you know that hell hath enlarged itself without measure to make room for Sunday school teachers. Well, I'll have you know I'm a preacher, and I'll have you know that hell has already got indigestion from a sorry lot that didn't have enough backbone and grit to be what God called them to be in the first place. And there will be others go to hell if the Lord tarries His coming very much longer. Now listen to me. Listen to me. We sit in our churches. We hold our Bibles. We listen to the preached Word of God. And we do our best to live as right as we can. Yet we look for those excuses. We look for those avenues where we can tell our children. That's just what old Brother Powers has preached for a long time, honey. And it really don't mean that no more. Listen to the new young preachers and they'll tell you different. If they do, they're hypocrites also. Listen to the new kind. I'm telling you something, brothers and sisters, right now from my heart. While I was standing over there weeping at this altar, enjoying the presence of God and thinking about heaven, my mind, Brother Gary, went back to Bristow. I mean, it's almost got to the place now that I've got myself in so many messes, saying things that just come to my mind while I'm preaching, that I fought off an impulse this year at Bristow to say anything. I got back home and told my church, but my mind went to the very thing that God dealt with me about Tuesday night at Bristow when I stepped up behind that pulpit and that preacher and his wife went through my mind. And I can stand here without any reservation and tell you that the last preacher has not fallen. The last ministry has not gone down the tubes. The last man of God has not cast a scandal across the holiness movement. And I can stand and tell you that the last divorce has not been felt in this building. The last affair has not been felt in this building. And if the devil has anything to do with it, there won't even be a camp meeting at this time next year, because his desire is to send you to hell. The last one of our young ladies. There's still some more coming down the road that's going to come up expecting and not have a daddy in the house. There's going to be some more of our boys go down with diseases of the body. That's the devil's way of doing things. That's the devil's way of doing things. And the problem is, I can't keep your attention long enough to get you to recognize that you very well can be the next one on the list. I will chase you all the way to hell, is what that daddy said. I show no disrespect whatsoever, but if that daddy could have got a hold of that boy, he would have looked at him with hate in his eyes, and he would have said, I will chase you all the way to hell. And here you sit in the house of God, close enough to this altar that you'd never have to sin again, boy, sitting over there on that wall. Here you are right now in this house, young'un, close enough to this altar that you never again are confronted by sins of the flesh. You'd never have to spend another sleepless night or another restless night. Here you are, girls, close enough to an altar of God that you can think about a pure future and a virtuous future instead of the road that some of you are plotting and the way some of you are plotting by the very enticing looks that shoot from your golden eyes. Here in this service, you mamas and daddies that are 3 inches away from a lawyer can come hand in hand down an aisle and call upon God and have a wonderful family here and inherit a wonderful mansion over there. I'm telling you, we are on the very edge of a salvation, on the very edge of some folks feeling deliverance and coming back to God. But the devil. I will chase you on back down to the restrooms. I will run you back to your car. You can start the engine up, kick in them 440 horses, turn your Alpine stereo system up until the windows bounce and dance right in the very tracks. And down the road you can go and get away from that raving and ranting. I will prepare for you a charismatic church and a preacher that doesn't care how you look, a preacher that doesn't care how you dress, a preacher who doesn't care what you do. In fact, he's probably got one down there that'll ask you out if you flirt with him just right. The devil prepares a trap for each and every single solitary soul, and he hits you at your weakest point. But I stand tonight with angels at our disposal. I stand tonight with heaven on alert. I stand tonight telling you that the devil can roar so far, but there is a chain, there is a binding, there is a Spirit of God that can hold him back, can turn him away, and give you the liberty to say no to drugs, and no to affairs, and no to alcohol, and no to tobacco. And all you've got to do is recognize that it is you who I'm talking to right now. He will chase you all the way to hell. I've got a mansion just over. Forget it. You don't either. You don't either. Now, Brother Joey, we like you. You're a little wild, and sometimes you say little things that's harsh, but we overlook you because we know how you are. But we've had this camp meeting a long time before you ever come. And we've been in churches a long time before you ever come on the scene. Yeah, I understand that. But I also want you to understand, if the devil has his way about it, you'll sit with that same frame of mind, covering them same secret sins. Hallelujah. Now listen, I know that I'm going to get ridiculous here, but no more ridiculous than what some folks get. I understand very plainly that sometimes we go to seed on things that there's not enough Bible for to blow the fuzz off a peanut. I understand that. In fact, I cannot openly just stand up and say that these guys that run around with short sleeve shirts are going to die lost and go to hell, because I'm not going to preach that a man's elbow is immodest. I mean, if you lust over man's elbow, you need psychiatric an evaluation. But I am going to tell you this. You don't know when to quit. You just don't know when to quit. We don't know when to stop. We don't know how to measure up. What about the beard and the mustache issue, Brother Height? What about it? I want to look as much like the children of God as I can, Bible or no Bible. I want to be counted with God's chosen few as much as I can, Bible or no Bible. And I am willing to go to extremes, whatever it takes, to prove my separation in the faith and in the glory and in the gospel. And it is those that try to live on the borderline with one thing in your heart, you will be trying to live on the borderline with something else.
What else are you going to give up? What are you talking about? What else are you going to give up? Didn't I tell him that, honey? What else are you going to give up? I set him down in the floor, leaned him over against the wall, put my arm around his chest, peered into the eyes of that teenage boy and said, what else are you going to give up? You've given up singing in our choir. You've given up going to our youth rallies. You've given up playing on the platform because I'm not going to let you up there no more with your guitar. You've given up dressing holy. I'm as liable to catch you in cut-off shorts and a tank top now as anything else out on the street. You've given up having a chance to date a good girl, and now you're running around with a Baptist young lady, and you know you're not to be unequally yoked. What else are you going to give up? And the big old tears run down, and he cried, and he hacked, and he spit, and he slung snot all over the altar, and tonight he will not darken the doors. He will not come through the building. Tonight, he will not have anything to do with the righteousness of God. How come? Because in his bid to give up a few things, the devil come up behind him, and before you know it, the things he loves, he hates. The things that he used to cry over, he fights now. And there is such a rebellious spirit that rises up in some of our young people that has been raised in our holiness churches. There is a rebellious spirit. You can see it. They dress right because their mom makes them. They come to church because their dad makes them. But in their spirit, there is a rebellious nature there. I fight it every year at youth camps. I fight it at youth camps. Hey, I didn't get my battle scars pastoring churches. No. I got them going to youth camps and trying to straighten out them young lives, trying to do something with them young hearts. Listen to me. In this tabernacle tonight, in this tabernacle tonight, you are lost and you know you are lost. But here we are, Brother Powers. Here we are, Brother Chip. We've come down to the end. We're down to the line. Brother Hyatt, you hit me a while ago, so help me. I felt conviction run all over my heart. But if I even act like that there's something wrong with my life, this entire fellowship is going to say, I knew there was something wrong about that guy. I knew he wasn't right. He's been a hypocrite all these years. And Brother Hyatt, I just can't stand to come down to that altar and pray through and get right with God. I just can't stand the embarrassment. I just can't stand the embarrassment of what people are going to say and what people are going to think. Well, I feel sorry for you. I feel for you. Because there are people in this tabernacle that are about as spiritual as a flagpole. There are people in this tabernacle that would do exactly what you think. They'd wonder what you've been up to because they've been up to the very same thing. That spirit in this house that would wonder why a person would want to come and get right with God is a spirit that needs to get right with God themselves. So really, if you could overcome what they think, you would be heaping coals of fire on their head if you come on to God and let God deliver you. But I will tell you, there's an old preacher in this building that'll lay down his cane and come to where you are and do whatever he can to help you make it to heaven, even if you have chewed him out 100 times over his preaching. There's a preacher right here that'll come to you and pray with you and do my best to see you make it to God's heaven regardless of the things you said as you pulled off of this campground night after night after night after night. Because there's a few of us that's bigger than the devil. There's a few of us that's got the victory over the devil. And it delights us to see you get the victory over the devil.
My sweetie pie tonight is going over to the piano. Sister Edenfield may have to come and help her because my wife's been praying in the altars with folks and she's just about to lose her voice. So she might need some reinforcement there singing. The rest of us are going to bow our heads. And tonight, we're going to see if we can be still and know that He is God. We're going to see if we can pay attention long enough for the convicting Spirit of God to find you in your wrong and cause you to want to make it right. Father, in the name of Jesus, Brother Gary, obeying the Spirit of God, moved us to worship and praise and glory as the Holy Ghost directed our attention on heaven. All the while, you knowing that you had moved in my spirit, that during this service, I would be preaching on the other extreme. What would happen to those who have no mansion, who have no walk with God, who are not saved? There are boys in this tabernacle that the devil would love to see burn in hell. And if the truth could be known years down the road, if things could be known on down the road, the next serial killer, the next teenage rapist, the next postal employee that's going to walk in and blow the brains out of 30 of their fellow workers, the next mama that's going to suffocate her baby in the midnight hours. If we could look down the road, it would frighten us to know what sits underneath this tabernacle tonight. God knows, and the devil knows. God's trying to make it so that it never happens. And the devil is trying to push you straight to hell, hoping that it happens sooner and not later. In Jesus' wonderful righteous name, I rebuke pride if I have any spirit at all for rebuking. And I come against binding, fettering spirits. If I have any sway at all with God, I bind it on earth that it can be bound in heaven. And if I have any touch in God at all, if my ministry is of any effect, I loose the salvation, the delivering hand of God in this tabernacle as it is loosed in heaven. In Jesus' name, before another teenage girl ruins her life, before another little girl ruins her life. Girls, 20, 21, 22, 23, you're not married yet. Nature tells you the longer you wait, the harder it's going to be. And you've run across boys going and coming that's willing to take you out and have something to do with you. And here one of you sits tonight in this tabernacle in the Valley of Decision. He's making gestures that he's attracted to you, that he would treat you good, that he'd be nice to you, that you could have a happy life together. Only problem is he's divorced. And you're wondering, if I step out just long enough to do it, can I step back in long enough to pray through and get right with God? That's the same spirit of that young lady that says, I'm going to backslide just long enough to cut my hair. Then I'm going to pray back through and get right with God. That's that same spirit. You're mocking God. You're mocking salvation. You're mocking His divine plan. In Jesus' name, listen to me. I'm fixing to make the most important statement, Brother Doval, of my entire life in this camp meeting. This next sentence that I'm fixing to utter, the most important thing that you'll ever hear me say in this tabernacle. Are you ready?
in the name of Jesus, ye who are weary, come home. In the name of Jesus, you who are lost in this tabernacle, come home. In the name of Jesus, you, husband, reach over and take her by the hand and make your way to the sacred altar of God, and there confirm the love of God in your hearts and watch your home blossom like a rose. You who are in this tabernacle tonight, I'm not just standing up here hearing my head rattle. There's sinners in this house. And there's backsliders in this house. There's young ladies in this house that don't dress right. There's boys in this house that don't live right. And they're going to die lost and go to hell if they don't change their way. So I'm going to give you the last altar call for this service tonight. If you are in this building and you have finally come to the knowledge that it's the devil that's tearing you up and not your church, it's the devil that's causing you the nerve troubles and not your job, it's the devil that's causing you to want to make excuses and not your mama and daddy, if you are in this tabernacle tonight and you want to do something about going to heaven, in the name of Jesus, you step out into the aisle that's closest to where you are sitting. You walk down to this altar with a contrite heart and a broken spirit, and you can get saved tonight before you leave this building. Sitting by somebody that needs to come, reach over there and tell them, I'll go with you if you want me to. Did you invite anybody to the camp meeting tonight? And you feel like the Holy Ghost is dealing with their heart? Have you got enough God to reach over there just quietly and discreetly and say, I'll go pray with you if you want to make things right with God? Is there anybody? Is there anybody? Is there anybody else? Is there anybody sitting back there in this tabernacle that will admit you're not right with God, even if you look like you are, sing like you are, testify like you are, and maybe even preach like you are? Is there anybody that's tired of acting and you really want to get right tonight? Going once, I'm going to let you head out the door and go eat. Going twice, I'm going to let you go back to your car. I'm going to let you go back to your music. I'm going to let you go back to your thinking. I'm going to let you. Just outside the door of this tabernacle stands a roaring lion, and I'm going to let you take him back home with you. Because that's what some folks has got their mind made up to do. But with the last count in this service tonight, somebody that's not saved in this tabernacle can walk down to this altar and get right with God. Praise, eh? worship is lacking, and so is conviction. Pray, saint. Pray, saint. You're not saved, and you know it. What about it, sister? It'd take you two steps from where you're at right now, and you could be in this altar in about seven more. What about it, boy? It'd take you one step from where you're at and about 12 to hit this altar and have your name inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life. What about it? What about it? What about it? What about it? All right. All right. All right. Brother Hyatt's going to do what all preachers do. He's going to tell everybody, find you a place. He's going to tell everybody to come and pray with somebody. But not before he tells you this. The devil will chase you all the way to hell. And somebody in here is going to remember that. You've had it. You've had it. You've had it and you don't know it. You've had it.
In the wrong direction. Thy burden shall get heavy. Yea, yea, and darkness shall overtake thee. For the Lord has come this night to give thee light. He's spoken to thine heart. Yea, turn not away from the light. For darkness shall overtake thee, and thou shalt stumble. Yea, and thou shalt falter by the wayside. Yea, this night saith the Lord, I have spoken to thine heart. I have spoken to thine heart once again. Yea, come now to the light, saith the Lord. Hallelujah.
You reckon that was your last altar call? You reckon that was your last altar call? And God thought enough about you that He made it personally. Don't take it for granted that this is just good people in this altar. Take it for granted that they're here because something in their heart wants to touch God. Don't overlook them. Don't overlook them. They're here out of a deep desire to draw nigh God. All right. I'm going to leave you. Service may not go this way tomorrow evening or tomorrow night. This is the only night of this entire camp meeting that God has dictated this service to run this direction. Isn't it amazing? This is your night that you was here for that camp meeting. We're going to build us an altar. We're going to build us an altar with you or without you. But we're going to build us an altar. We're going to pray. We're going to pray till them girls right there. We're going to pray till them two girls right there that come from the back of this tabernacle. Some of you mamas of Israel, front row over here, help me with them girls. We're going to pray that some girls change their way of living.
Make up your mind. You can't be happy.
And while all these saints of God pass you by and come this direction toward the city where the Lamb is the light, you take notice. You take notice. They're not only leaving you behind tonight, they're going to leave you behind forever.
While there's still
time. Teenagers, if your mom and daddy's praying in this altar and you're sitting back there lost, you will part at the judgment.
You
Grandma and Grandpa, if your grandchildren are up here seeking God and you feel no need to pray, you will part with them at judgment. Church member, if your pastor is up here calling on God and you see no need to build you an altar, you will go with that pastor as far as judgment, and then there shall be the parting of the ways.
Tomorrow's just on credit. There's no guarantee on life. You could be gone. Time comes to die. You also know that Christ is coming. Oh, but if you're left behind, how you wish for a little bit more time. While there's still time, spread the news around. can't be happy living on the borderline. If you only knew his plan for you, you wouldn't wait or hesitate while there's still time. While there's still time, make up your mind. You can't be happy living on the borderline. Oh, if you only knew his plan for you, just on Christmas.